It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know, could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Groupies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. All right, we're doing the news.
Good.
So, this hurricane, Milton. I know we don't live down there, but
Milton.
It is probably the biggest story because in the last couple of days they've been acting like this hurricane was going to be the storm of the century.
Yeah.
Lazo just showed me something where the guy says, that's weakening and
it's going to wobble.
In fact, it's a
it
wobble.
Happens a lot. They always talk about it like it wobbles. I don't really know what that means. Like, how does it really wobble? But, and then it's going to get bigger, but not bigger, like stronger, like you think. Like, it'll widen out. When it widens out, that makes it weaker, too.
Okay. Well, they just keep talking about this thing that I'm looking at.
They always want to widen out, man.
A half an hour ago.
Get wide, is what my dad used to say.
They say the surge will not be... Anyway, they said just because the storm is showing signs of weakening a little bit does not mean
storm surges
that the surge
but
won't
that's
still
fine.
Be
that's
terrible.
Okay. You know, storm surge.
And they said it will be a monumental storm, but, you know, like you said, this is from, like,
well,
the Tallahassee
Democrat. Not if this guy's right.
Like, you know,
the guy on the Weather Channel said it'd be a 3. That's not even... it's not monumental at all.
That's what they had last week, or whenever that was. However long ago it's been now. I thought I heard someone saying there's another one behind it. But anyhow, one of the things that they're dealing with down there is because they just had that Hurricane Helene a couple weeks ago, they haven't been able to pick up the debris. They haven't had time to. So they've had crews down there, including the feds, working 24-hour shifts trying to get this stuff off the road because you've got piles that just line all of these roads of, you know, lumber, anything you can think of laying there. And they say when this storm hits, this stuff becomes projectiles and it becomes extremely lethal. So that's one of the issues.
Florida is racing to remove truckloads of debris and the clock is running out.
That's a 24/7 round the clock mission. We need as much of this debris picked up as possible. This creates a safety hazard.
Across Florida's Gulf Coast, streets and sidewalks are littered with parts of destroyed homes, splintered lumber, heavy pieces of furniture, and household items after Hurricane Helene gutted the region less than 2 weeks ago.
So what do people do? We talked a little bit a couple weeks ago when Helene hit about this insurance, the flood insurance thing, because it was making national news. So many homes were flooded in the South. So many areas were flooded. But like in Florida, you can buy flood insurance, but it's so expensive that essentially nobody does. That's what I've read. They make it incredibly expensive because they know your place is going to flood. So they just make it one of those things that you don't buy. Okay. You might as well just keep buying houses at this point. I don't know how expensive it is, but I have read that a lot of people don't have it. Maybe even most of them don't have flood insurance, depending on where you live. I'm sure it's easier to get or cheaper to get maybe in Orlando, something like that. But especially if you live on a canal, I could see that being a difficult thing, or living right on the water. So what do you do? If you live on a canal and you can't get, or on the water, and you can't get flood insurance, how often does your home flood if you live on the Gulf Coast? If you live in South Florida, your home is flooding, like, what, does it just flood once a year at this point? Is that sort of what you're at? You figure water's going to get in the house maybe once a year with all these storms? I don't know if that's where we're at or not, but when you got this many hurricanes, you've had two now, and I swear they said they thought that there was another one that could be following.
That storm surge has got to get pretty high. I mean, most people don't have basements.
Right. No,
I mean,
just
my parents lived there, and I lived there for, I don't know, a majority of my life. We never got water in our house.
But these houses that are along canals, those are the ones that
we
especially can't get. Okay, those are the ones that especially have a hard time getting flood insurance.
You may not be able to get it, but I just, you know, for as many times we live right down the street from where your house is.
Right.
Right on that canal. I lived there for 30 years. Never, water never went into our house.
So they're making it sound like this storm.
Like some pumps set up on those things, and you know.
But where does it go if it's all?
Like it runs back out into the water, into the Gulf.
Hmm. Well,
I'm pretty sure that's what it does.
It seems stressful to me. I don't know. I don't even like to say this out loud. I've never had to make any type of a claim with the homeowners insurance. Have you?
Well, no, because I know they're not going to pay it.
Well, that's part of it. We may not even have it. But
you're not on the first floor, are you?
What, in Florida?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a house. We talked about this yesterday.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we never lived on the first floor. We'd never do that. That's stupid.
Well, it's all houses down there. I mean, the whole, it's old neighborhoods of houses right there. So
yeah, we lived in one of those condos, and we lived on the second floor.
Yeah. Yeah, these are all houses. So yeah. That's why I'm asking, how often do these places flood? I know it flooded last year when the...
The house did?
Yeah, whenever part of it did. Whenever the... I don't know what the one was last year that messed up Fort Myers, but... And I don't know, every year it seems like they're saying, oh, well, this isn't normal. Hurricane season has gotten so much worse because of weather change and all things. I don't know if that's true or not.
I think there's more of them.
Feels like it. It feels like there is.
I think there's more of them for sure.
Or maybe just because now I suddenly feel like I have a stake in it because we're trying to find a way to retire to Florida. That's like a thing that I never thought as a kid.
That crying meteorologist said that. He's like, look, the water's a lot warmer than it used to be. We all know why. We all know what it is.
But he's crying. I don't. The guy who's.
But that
crying.
Is like, I've heard that since I was a kid. As the Gulf of Mexico warms up, I don't know. They don't necessarily say that it causes more hurricanes.
It causes them to be stronger.
Them to be stronger, which makes us take notice.
Yeah.
So you know, like 1, 2, 3 degrees can be a big deal.
Because
I do remember going swimming when I was a real little kid. And this is just anecdotal, and maybe I'm completely wrong. Of getting in the Gulf of Mexico and being like, oh, it's cold.
Yeah.
That didn't happen now.
Yeah. No.
It doesn't. Like, you don't get in the Gulf of Mexico like, oh, it's cold. You're like, oh, look, it's nice. Bath water.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know how, you know, like, again, that could just be my perception, whether I was a kid and whatnot. But
I'm sure you could find that snow cone, some sort of a stat that looks at the last 30 or 40 years, hell, even 50 years, of hurricanes. Just look at Florida.
I'm
look at South Florida.
When,
look at the Gulf side. And
Alligator
see.
Alley. When that floods, and then all of a sudden you got alligators running down the street in Cape Coral. That's not, you don't want that, man.
You're not scared of alligators. I thought...
Man, you don't want to go out to... I do not like alligators.
Well, you don't want alligators.
They're goddamn
if you're
dinosaurs.
Swimming.
And they figured out how to survive, and they kill people.
I think they learned to survive by staying away from us. That's
how they learned to survive. Okay, they have their own thing called the alligator death roll.
Yeah.
Like, and then we try to teach that to each other. Like, it's an alligator.
What, for like cage fighting?
Right, and tackle football.
Oh, the death roll. Okay,
right.
Yeah.
And they outlawed it. Basically, yeah. Because it would hurt people too much.
Yeah,
the NFL was like that. We'll call it the drop hip tackle, but it's really the alligator death roll. And we're going to go ahead and just say that's illegal because people are blowing out. Like, an alligator is a bad thing. It is a tough son of a bitch.
It's bad if
look,
it's
I'm the
flooded.
Guy who says I can fight an elephant and a wolf. I'm telling you, you don't want to fight an alligator.
I'm not saying I want to fight it. I'm just saying that.
And what you don't want to do is go out to the car
swimming
and have one underneath
me.
It.
No, okay. Well.
Temperature of Gulf of Mexico has raised 2 degrees over a 50-year period, which they say is warming twice as fast as the other oceans.
Oh, as other oceans?
Yeah.
Well, that's a whole other thing that I don't understand. Like,
warming
why
twice
specifically
as fast
that?
As global oceans.
I wonder why that is. But if you could, I'm curious
smaller?
What the number of hurricanes, like, you know, damage. Of course, that's also a hard thing because you go, well, how many people live there? How, you know, you've got more houses and there's more things to be destroyed. But I'm sure that they could say, here's how many storms that reached this level where they were averaging annually during hurricane season 30 years ago as opposed to now. It does feel like we hear about it more. When I was a kid, I remember Hurricane Andrew. That's the one that I remember. Until Katrina hit Louisiana, Hurricane Andrew was the one storm that I, for some reason, memorized because it was such big news.
And it was such a big city.
Yeah, that's a huge
like,
part of it.
I mean, because when you see the picture, I mean, you see the picture of Hugo, yeah, it's death and destruction, but it all looks like beach. It's Charleston.
Right, right.
When you looked at Andrew, it was Miami.
It's
it was like,
deal.
Whoa, this is a downtown, this is a big city, and big buildings knocked over. Like, and then the pictures that night, I remember, of the rain and the wind.
It was
like,
crazy.
Moving huge buildings. When you look at it, and it's Galveston,
right.
You're like, well, okay.
There's not as much to see.
And all the houses are on stilts. Like, what are you guys thinking? It gets wind. Like,
I know.
Right? It's not like, hey, this is the H&R Block building, and it just crumbled. It's not. It just doesn't give you the same visual.
Yeah, that's a bigger deal. When I see those houses on stilts, like in the panhandle down there and stuff, I think you built this to be destroyed and rebuilt. It almost looks like a treehouse. You're like, well, we'll see how long this lasts, and then you know, maybe we'll make it a whole year without this thing being destroyed. I don't know how any of that works.
John About Town says the Gulf warms faster because of spring break piss.
Yeah, maybe.
That's probably pretty accurate, actually.
I'm sure there's also probably a stat for that, Snowcone. You can look it up. Speaking of hurricanes and Helene and all that, there's this big thing going on with FEMA. And I didn't know about this, but conspiracy theories, because we don't live in a hurricane area, so we're not here bitching about FEMA right now on Facebook. But people in the South are, and they're saying
that spend my time.
FEMA isn't spending money fixing all the damage from Helene because they spent all their money on housing migrants.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a thing that's been talked about on the campaign trail. Trump says that Harris has spent all of her money for right. FEMA on housing migrants. The head of FEMA finally went on TV and said, like, look, this is not true. I don't know that anybody cares if it's true. Well, I'm sure the woman from FEMA going on TV like, this is not true.
Every Republican voted against it.
Well, I know that's what they say. That's it up.
I know.
I'm saying, like, it doesn't matter. That stuff doesn't matter. You can look back and say, this person voted against this. This person voted against this. This money went here. There's no evidence that this money went there.
Right.
You can say
also,
now whatever you
like,
want to say.
Well, you're like, oh, FEMA's crooked and spending money on the wrong stuff. Well, let me tell you who came out and said they're not.
Right.
The head of FEMA.
Right.
I'm like, hey.
Exactly. Look who's on CNN saying,
Tony
look,
Soprano
this isn't
said,
true.
You know, like, people said he was in the mafia. He came on season sanitation.
He said mafia isn't real.
Soprano came out and gave a press conference himself.
Yeah.
It's so, just, look, I'm like, I just take it.
What good does this do? Now, the news job,
no good.
The media's job is supposed to be, hey, we looked into it. But when they look into it, they just say, they told us none of the money was diverted.
But it's just categorically false. And I can assure you that no funding has been taken from the disaster relief funds.
In the last 2 years, FEMA has distributed more than $1 billion in taxpayer money to shelter migrants in cities across the U.S. But the White House and FEMA both say that's a separate government program, not for disaster relief.
Oh, the White House
adding
and FEMA,
no
sorry.
Evidence funds have been diverted.
They both say that the money hasn't been diverted. So, yeah, then that should settle that, right? Because this is 1989, and that's how the world works.
Right.
Also, $1 billion, I think, I don't know what you get with the $1 billion wherever they were spending on those migrants, but I think if you were doing Laszlo's plan in Kansas, $1 billion would build you quite a few homes.
Yeah.
We could get you quite a few homes out there in Kansas, and you'd have permanent residence set up, and I don't know, you know, we can work out the other details right. about, it might be jobs that need to be done, but you wanted to build these neighborhoods in Kansas, and just, it puts people back to work, and it takes care of the unhoused, or the homelessness problem. Well, why not the migrant problem, too? Just solve all these problems. Spend $1 billion in Kansas. I think you'd have enough homes for everyone.
You know, and if you don't want to stop there, you can be like, I'm not going to that city.
Right.
This sucks.
Yeah. And if you might even live there and be like, I don't like it here. But, well, that's America. Then you're going to try and work hard and get out of
the
city.
Try to get out of that place.
Yeah, that's
but
fine.
But until then, that's where you got to go.
That's it.
It's called independence.
Okay, stop.
Enjoy.
Stop.
More from the pulpit coming up. The Church of Laszlo.
Preach, brother!
On 98.9 The Rock. Is that the rock in your pocket? Or are you just happy to see me?
Whoa!
Yo!
Yo! All right, we're going to finish doing the news here, coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that suicide capsule thing, the Tesla of suicides?
Yeah,
I got an update about that. Also, the NFL, the Players Union, they've got a complaint. They got something they'd like to put an end to. Did you see this?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm curious what, though.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that. And also, people getting offended because, well, two things. People getting offended at something Aikman said last night during the Chiefs game. I'm sure you saw that, or maybe not. And then also, people getting offended because of, you know, movies and things that they don't want their kids to watch. I go on Rotten Tomatoes sometimes, and I'll read the, I'll take a look at the user reviews. And you got the critics who actually write something, and then the users who have the thing. I'm shocked. How many times you see someone, and it's always a woman. I'm sorry, but it's always a woman's name, at least. And it says, I couldn't believe how many times they use the F word in this. I'm like, you're still doing this?
Right.
In 2024, you're still doing this. I counted this many times in the last half hour. It was totally gratuitous. That the movie is supposed to be gratuitous. It's amazing to me. But apparently...
You should write your own movie.
Right. You really
without
should.
Without any F words in it. You
I guess that's popular now.
Is that gratuitous?
Pretty gratuitous.
I guess they say Christian movies are making a comeback. Christian family movies. I haven't seen any of these. They must not advertise them to me, but yeah, I'd like to go check out some of these wholesome movies.
Kirk Cameron.
I don't know who's in these movies, but there was a big article that they're talking about how much money they're making on these Christian movies. I don't know what they are, but they must be out there.
I'm sure there's a market for them.
Yeah, they said that they're killing it. There's like new studios that are popping up, and they're pumping more money into these studios on movies because we're heathens. They don't advertise them, so we don't even hear about them.
Of course.
But there's probably one out in theaters right now that people know about. And they're like, oh, yeah,
they might not go to theaters. They might just go direct.
A lot of them are going to theaters, I'm telling you, it's amazing that we are so oblivious to this. Because
well, maybe we've gone and seen them and not even known.
Well, that could be. But I think it's with all this smart advertising.
That hidden God trick they do.
I think they know not to advertise
that. I've watched a couple of God movies on Amazon,
Yeah, that
like on accident?
Yeah, like I thought they were Kurt Warner story. No, I thought they were baseball. The Kurt Warner story was oddly enough not that religious.
Mm. It was basically
like
it
basically just took like there's a 3 minute time frame where he was like, my wife, she was super religious and he met her, but he wasn't. And then that's basically it. Because I thought it was going to be all of that.
I thought it was a
God
movie.
But I have watched baseball movies where they're like, and then you get towards the end, like, and then he prayed to God. And you're like,
I remember watching that.
Oh, man, this is a Christian film.
Chacho looked at me and he goes, they fooled us. I'm like, they did. We thought it was baseball, man.
More Church of Laszlo on the way.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know, could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Herpes infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo! Well, we're finishing the news, my man. Look, I will admit, I have not watched the Menendez show, Monster, and I've not watched the new documentary that Netflix put out. This is because...
You had sex with a girl named Monster, and it brings back bad memories.
Well, there's that aspect.
Right.
Also, Peacock had a Menendez Brothers documentary like a year ago, and we watched that because we'll watch anything that's out. So we end up watching a Peacock documentary. So now we're missing the one that everyone's actually talking about because we're like, all right, enough with the Menendez Brothers. But there's this big push to get them out, and the prosecutor has talked about how they are now looking at evidence. Maybe they have done enough time. Maybe their trial wasn't fair. We know now that there were letters that were sent between family members talking about the abuse that they say that they suffered under their father. Those things were not allowed in court. So there is some talk about the prosecutor saying, hey, you know, we're just looking at what we're getting. And it's, of course, all, it looks like it's all being motivated by these Netflix shows, the show and the documentary. Kim Kardashian went to visit them a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
I get the feeling that a lot of women have been watching this. And I don't know, I'm not saying it's all women. It just seems like, you know, a lot of people are watching this, and just because I haven't been watching it doesn't mean that people aren't talking about it, because I see that it's everywhere. And now with this documentary, there is family members in it talking about, yeah, they had told me that they were being abused. One is a cousin, one is the aunt, their mom's sister. So there seems to be this push from at least the people who've watched these shows saying, hey, even if you think that they needed to be in prison, they've done enough time, maybe they're not psychopaths, maybe they really were being abused and they didn't know how to get out of it.
Family members of Eric and Lyle Menendez speaking out.
He was afraid that his dad was going to do so that night.
Their cousin Diane Vandermolen saying Lyle confided in her.
I just felt like, well, nobody else is doing anything. I must have been wrong. Then Lyle and Eric killing their parents made me wonder again, you know, maybe I wasn't wrong then.
She says she tried to tell the boy's mother, Kitty, who didn't believe her. Kitty's own sister, shocked by the allegations.
The fact that they didn't just have a dad that was doing this, but a mother that knew about it and didn't help them. I don't understand how she didn't protect him.
Okay, Laszlo, you and I are old enough to remember when this was going on, when it was the biggest story in the country, the biggest crime story in the country,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
And there was no talk at the time.
Parents, that was a big deal.
Yeah, and they brutally.
No, it happens all the time.
Right.
Old hat nowadays.
Yeah. But there was no talk about these kids were abused and this is why they did it. That stuff didn't come out till later. And so because most of us didn't hear about that stuff until later, you thought, this seems like kind of a, you know, last-ditch effort to try and garner some sympathy.
It always
or
feels
something.
Like that anyway.
But now you find out, oh, there were these letters.
Whether we're here or whatever, it's like, oh, it just feels like that. If you were going to set up a defense for killing your parents, it would have to be they abuse you.
Yeah.
I'm a lawyer, you know.
Yeah. It helps.
Well, I'm like, well, why'd you do it? And they're like, I don't know. And I'm like, I know why you did.
Yeah.
This is the only way you're going to get out of jail, maybe.
Right.
So let's start talking that. That's why we tend to shrug that off a little bit. I'm not saying we should, but we just think, well, what?
Well, and because we didn't hear it till later, at least right. Most of us. It just wasn't talked about until, you know, they get up there on the stand and they start crying and you're like, oh, okay, now they're talking about being abused.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, well, this wasn't something, if they were really being abused and this is why they did it, wouldn't we have heard it from their lawyers right, already? Sure. Like, this seems like they put this together, like you say. The right. Lawyers say they need a defense. But then to find out that a lot of stuff wasn't allowed in trial and these letters were sent to, and family members knew about this. I'll tell you, of all of it, I've only seen clips, but Javier Bardem, he looks exactly like their dad in that Netflix thing. I mean, it's uncanny. He looks exactly like him. But, you know, it's not just the brothers that say they were abused. There was a member of that band that he managed, Menudo, right? What was that band called?
Menudo?
That's it, right? The boy group?
Okay.
Am I saying that? It was Menudo. Right?
I didn't know that he managed them.
Yeah, that's what he did. He like worked in the music industry and managed the artists.
Ricky Martin?
Yeah.
Ricky Martin?
Yes, and I think that group had a lot of members that came and went. It was one of those type of groups. I'm not positive. But anyway, one of the members of that group has said that their dad also abused him. So they're not the only ones that are saying this happened. You've got this other guy who says, no, it happened to me as well. And for people who've watched the Netflix show and the documentary, I know you're screaming right now. There's so much more. I'm sorry. I haven't watched it yet. I will watch it. But I know people are talking about it. I know it's a big deal if you get the prosecutor involved saying, all right, we're looking at this stuff. Maybe we'll let them out. That's like when someone does a podcast and they strike gold. Some sort of a true crime podcast, like that one in Georgia 10 years ago, where it had been a cold case for almost 20 years or however long it had been. And you get the podcast going, and next thing you know, the cops are suddenly reinvestigating. And then next thing you know, they've made arrests, you know, something they hadn't done in years and years. Feels similar with this Menendez thing when you've got people who could actually help free these guys saying, you know, we're not closed to the idea. We are looking into it. So I mentioned the NFL earlier, the Players Union. Which, hey, can you look up Snowcone? I think, was there a new players union? You know, they do those surveys where it's like the anonymous surveys. I saw the other day they said that there was one, but I never saw it.
So.
Yeah, me too. So
I thought they usually do it in the off season.
That's what I thought. So maybe they're referencing an old one, but I meant to have you check Snowcone. But anyhow, the players union says the players are tired of reporters being in the locker room.
Oh yeah, I heard them talking about this in the nakedness.
They caught some guys naked. It's happened many times, and they say, look, you know, we're down there showering and everything.
Yeah, I don't think they should be in the locker room.
I think it seems perfectly reasonable to say, hey, we'll still talk to you.
I don't see why they don't. You wait until we come out for the press conference.
Exactly. There's a room for this.
Right. And if you want, and if they want to make an exception to be like, hey, if the team wants to make an exception, for whatever exception that is, but maybe the team's like, hey, if you want to get photos of us spraying champagne on each other after we win the pennant or the Super Bowl or a playoff game, then we'll allow reporters in tonight. But as a rule, unless you get a release from us inviting you into the locker room, then meet us in the press conference room. I don't understand. We've had that argument when I was a kid. It was about women in the locker room.
Oh, really?
Don't let women in the locker room because guys will walk around with their out. And, like, you can say that.
I'm listening.
You both looked at each other like I'm not allowed to say that.
No, I'm listening.
Guys walking around with their wieners out.
Yeah.
And women being upset about it. Like, just stay out of the locker room. Why do you need that access?
Right. No, it is weird. I think we're just used to it. You're used to seeing those guys back there. But if you think about it, it makes no sense.
I'm guessing maybe the NFL wanted that, like, for, I don't know, you know, for to help ratings, maybe. I don't know why.
Yeah, I wonder how it started. Who the first person was to go back there. Because when you literally have these rooms that are built next to the locker room most of the time,
they're for the press,
and they're ready to come, and they're required to come talk to you. Right?
Yeah.
So
you don't
have to worry about that. They're going to come talk to you. You're not going to miss them. If they don't, they literally get in trouble.
Yeah.
So why do you need to go back there while they're showering? It's a weird, weird thing. As a kid, I remember thinking we were so terrified to take showers in junior high. It was horrible. And everybody's naked in there, and the coaches are making fun of you, and it was awful. And they stopped doing it the year after I got out of junior high. So I was the last batch. But I remember seeing those guys on TV after the games, and I thought, I guess you just get comfortable when you're an adult. And then you see the guys like in the locker room at a gym, and you're like, some of them are just standing around with their wieners hanging out. And you think, I guess you just, as you get older, you must get comfortable. I have never really gotten totally comfortable with that, with just walking around totally naked in front of people. And maybe these guys haven't either. They just haven't had a choice. They get out of the shower, and there's some pimple-faced kid like me with a microphone in their face.
Do they have, and I'm just asking, but do they have guy reporters in WNBA locker rooms?
I don't know. I don't know.
Like, I don't know the answer to that.
Do they go into the locker rooms for every sport? Are there sports where they don't go into the locker rooms? I don't know. But the NFL says enough.
Football players and their NFLPA, the Players Association, they're trying to take media out of their locker rooms. Like, after a Super Bowl, practice days or game days.
No, it's a sports guy.
Sounds like AI, isn't it?
No, well, I do try and cut them together so they're
not AI sports guy.
In their space, their locker rooms anymore. Now, to be fair, they're not saying they won't talk to the media. They just want a different process. They want to do this in a different way.
No, I'd take the audio, so if it took that guy 40 seconds to say it, I want him to get it out in 20.
Right.
Get rid of the ums and alls, so maybe that's why it sounds a little robotic. But yeah, I'm totally fine with that.
Of course. Why? Is anybody arguing?
Who's arguing? Well, I don't know if anyone's arguing. It's a big story today.
Is the media, like our sports reporters, upset about it?
I haven't heard anyone saying that they're upset, but it does seem to be a big story today. I've seen it multiple places where they say, oh, the NFL saying they want the media. I thought, well, maybe someone in the media is upset about it, that they're going to lose that access. I don't go to locker rooms to ask questions. So we could ask Nick. He used to do it. He used to go in the locker room and ask people if it was harder to throw the ball when it's wet.
It's got showers in it.
Yeah.
And it's where you change clothes.
Yeah.
So that just seems like a place like where, you know,
that's that.
Other people shouldn't be in. Like, you know, I don't know, a changing room.
Mm-hmm.
A bathroom.
Bathroom stall, like your stall.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
imagine someone just opening the bathroom stall where you're taking a crap.
Right.
I mean, like, hey, I mean, at this point, they're really close. The lawyer that's representing like 120 or maybe more accusers of Puff Daddy has said that he's already alluded to a lot of things about
celebrities. I thought we were still talking about the locker room.
Sorry,
I was like, wait, what?
What's this guy's name, Snoke? I can't think of his name, but the lawyer for these guys. I keep seeing it everywhere. But he says he's already talked about how there's celebs that are involved, big celebs that we'll all know. Well, now he says that these celebrities have been hurrying to make deals with victims so that they won't be outed behind the scenes. Like, ever since this started, and especially since he got all these new accusers that he's representing, he claims that these celebrities, which we talked about yesterday, if you're a celebrity who's at one of these parties and you know 50 Cent's coming out with this documentary on Netflix, how nervous are you? Well, this lawyer literally is saying they are nervous because they're going around paying people to promise not to use their name.
Attorney Tony Busby says that he plans to sue several A-listers who allegedly helped Diddy cover up his sexual abuse, but he claimed some of the stars have already paid up in an attempt to keep their identities private. He told TMZ, quote, if you were attending one of these parties and you were there in the room, or you participated, or you watched it happen and didn't say anything, or you helped cover it up, in my view, you have a problem. Tony says that he is planning on aggressively pursuing legal action against certain celebrities, and that names will come out in due course.
So there you go. Names will come out in due course. But does that mean that
I'm scared of you right now?
Does that mean the celebrities already paid the money to keep people quiet?
Well,
don't have to worry
to pay
about
people.
It. Yeah. What about the ones that he's saying have
made deals? He's saying he's going to give it anyway, but I'm curious. So how much have you paid out to try to
I'm not a celebrity, and I never got invited to a freak-off. You know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could you imagine if they're like, oh, we found someone.
Yeah, and
it's this guy. They just like, this whole case is crap.
I don't think you'll be the lead, but you'll be in the documents.
I'm not. I don't get invited to that
stuff. It's like you're on that flight registry to Lolita Island or whatever it was.
I was not. I never flew with Epstein.
Okay.
I barely have ever flown. I'm just a poor kid from Missouri.
You're like, I barely knew him.
I barely knew him.
It does take some getting used to.
The Church of Laszlo.
Okay, everybody just calm down.
On 98.9 The Rock.